morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Nothing like just a little bit of technical difficulty to start the day off right. But my microphone fell out of my headset. But it's great to be here this morning. As you said, we'd like to welcome you in here to the Clay County Corner, where we do come to you each Thursday morning here at 9 a.m. and with a rebroadcast this evening at 6. And, of course, the streaming work on the Del Hollow Horizon website. And it's a pleasure being able to come to you. And, of course, we're able to do this because of the good folks over at the Clay Chamber of Commerce and also the three-star folks that helped make this possible and all the folks that advertise here on our radio station, not only here but throughout the day. And if you'd like to be a part of that, we welcome you to give a call over to the main headquarters to get all this set up. So they can do some excellent recording work for you, get you a great commercial up and going for your business or for any other reason. But with that, this morning, Mayor Dale Reagan, it's on his way up here later, but luckily, Miss Kristen Rich called and said, can she come up for a few minutes this morning? And I think maybe she even went by the mayor's office. He got tied down somewhere or other. She comes bopping in here and say, well, we can only stay about 2 or 3 minutes.
We don't have much to say today.
You've got James Hamilton with you, and you don't have much to say.
Hey, Matt.
Okay, Kristen, let's just go in exactly the official part. What we got going on?
Official business. So next Friday, the Extension Office, along with the Soil Conservation Office, is hosting, well, actually, Turkey Creek Cattle Company is hosting us, a fish and forage field day. And so this means we're going to be talking all about ponds, pond stocking, algae, how to control that. Also, we're going to be talking about the forage side, so pasture weeds, different grasses and things. We're going to do some sprayer calibration, because a lot of people don't even calibrate their sprayers anymore. So we're gonna make sure everybody's educated on that. But this is a free event. We're gonna have a fish fry at the very end, and this begins at 1 o'clock, Friday the 6th.
Okay, now you have thrown a whole bunch of information out there, and are you gonna explain some of those things a little bit, or?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
So for the pond, for the fish part, I am going to have another extension agent, an extension specialist come in. He's our fish extension specialist. He's going to bring a boat, and we're going to set up at Turkey Creek Cattle Company's pond, and the boat's going to roll out there into the middle, and we are actually going to take a sample of their fish in their pond. How we do that is the boat is... they have electro nets, and it shocks the fish. It stuns them for about 15 minutes. We catch those fish with a net. We bring them back to the bank, and then we take weights. We record what we see. So if they have any parasites or anything wrong with them, we can talk about that.
Okay, so you're just going along through there, and this poor little fish down in there is just swimming along, not bothering nobody, and all at once you zap him.
Yep.
And float him to the top of the water.
Yep.
Have you ever given any consideration to the invasion of privacy?
I just feel bad. They come to the bank and they're just limp, and then they eventually start coming back too, and then we let them back into the pond.
And he's got to go back and explain to his wife where he's been.
Exactly.
You ain't gonna believe this.
No. Okay. All right. Fun's over.
Yeah. So that's part of our field day. Another part is we're going to talk about things to control algae, lily pads, and anything like that that may grow on your pond. Some algae is good algae, and we're going to talk about that too. And some of it's bad algae, so we'll talk about how to get rid of it.
Okay, you know, along that line, on the serious side of that, you know, if you have a pond that way, and it's been there for years, and you've never had any problem with weeds or any, that's pretty much a dead pond, then, isn't it?
Probably.
I mean, you know, that you do need some form of life.
Yes.
Showing that there is activity in that water.
Yeah.
And we both know, we've seen ponds that have sat there forever and ever without anything in them.
Yeah.
So there's a way, if a pond is completely void of life, is there a solution for that?
Oh, yeah. So, well, of course, number one, you could stock it. We're going to talk about stocking rates and the size of your pond versus how many fish you need to put in there.
Okay, and the type of fish that you're stocking.
Type of fish. I don't know all about that, but our specialist is going to really fill us in.
I do know we have a lot of catfish ponds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, of course, some fish can't live in pond water, can they? They've got to have the fresh water, so you've got to make sure it is a still water type fish. Okay, next step.
All right. So we're actually going to be at two locations. So our first location is going to be on the Union Hill Moss Road. If you're driving down Union Hill Moss Road, there's going to be signs everywhere. So if you know where Brian Coons lives, it's right beside his place there on the Turkey Creek Cattle Company. Do you have any other explanations where we're going?
You just go up through Moss and you go on 52 toward, after you pass the Y at William Cherry's old store, you'll turn left at the first road to the left, and then it's on the right. You can't miss it.
Okay. All right. Now, like I said, a whole bunch of activities and free food.
Free food. So we're going to do a fish fry. So the Union Hill Moss Road is the first, is where we're going to start with the pond and the poor old shocking fish. And then we're going to follow each other out to Happy Ridge in Moss to Turkey Creek Shop Building. And that's where we're going to do all of our pasture, weeds and things, how to control those. And we're also going to talk a little bit about cattle nutrition with silage and things like that. And then, yes, we're going to get to dig into some fish.
Okay, you know, most of us that grew up on a farm, not that we hadn't, but Grandpa had a farm, and we got to work for Grandpa. And, you know, we just simple, you know, we went out in the spring, plowed it up, took the corn planter, planted some corn, and dug weeds out with a hoe, and all that kind of, and of course, being old-time farmers, they had a process they went through. If you had a tobacco crop, you had to be set out by a certain amount of time. It had to be plowed so many times. It had to be gone through with your gooseneck hoe and cleaned the weeds out so many times. You know, and that's not true anymore, is it? That, you know, the no-till farming, I know that Turkey Creek's not involved in those type of things, but it is so much more of a scientific operation now in everything.
It is.
And if you don't have the information, you're not going to be successful in this high-tech world, are you?
Probably not.
Okay, now, James, we'll switch over there a little bit. And, you know, a lot of folks hear you say, you know, they say, well, James, what are you doing? You say, well, I'm managing Turkey Creek Farms.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, James?
Well, Turkey Creek Cattle Company was formed here about 6 years ago now. It's owned by Mr. Randall Smith, and he lives down in Hendersonville. And he has bought up about 4,000 acres in Clay County now. And I manage his farms for him. We raise cattle. We have cattle. We do feeder calves, and we sell feeder calves. But we have four full-time employees, which is good for our county. We have one part-time. My grandson, he helps us. He's going to college, and he helps us through the summer months. And Creek Cattle Company has turned into a pretty good operation for Clay County.
Okay, now, I don't have to see if you want to get into specifics, but how many head of cattle do you run on that?
Right now we have around 300 mama cows and then the calves. You know, we usually have 500 to 600 head at a time. we're still growing. We have a couple of farms that it's really not been producing yet. We're working on them, getting them ready. And like you said earlier, it's, you've got to get them cleaned up and sold down and fenced. And we've done a lot of that in the last few years, you know.
Well, I know with that much acreage, a lot of it is what we would call tillable soil.
Yeah.
But that's not, you're not interested in till. You're in,
no,
interested
we,
in pasture.
Pasture land. We drill. We have a drill, and we drill ryegrass and oats and you know, that type of stuff, wheat to make hay out of. But we don't do any corn or beans or anything.
Okay, what about, you know, the pasture itself? How many acres of actually grazable pasture land do you think maybe you have?
Well, a lot of it's woods. A lot of it is timberland. But I'm just guessing, I'm going to say there's probably right now, without these other farms cleaned up, there's 1,000 to 1,200 acres of pasture land, you know.
Yeah. The total head of cattle that you would be able to sustain right there now?
We could have another probably 100 to 200 mother cows, you know, and that would, of course, that double up on you guys. We're hoping to run like maybe get up to maybe 500 mother cows.
Okay, now that's something there. What about marketable animals?
Well, we sell, of course, like I do, we sell our calves, and we usually sell, right now we're selling like maybe 300 or so calves a year, and we have bought some calves and fed them out, but when we do that, we'll buy like 100 or so and feed them out and sell them. But,
and something I guess a lot of folks don't realize about the cattle business unless you're in it. He's talking about the mother cows there. The young calves, there is a tremendous difference in the farming business based on where you buy your animals or where you raise them on your own.
Yeah.
And the one I'm speaking of is the taxation problem with when you raise your own animals.
Right.
And you lose one of those animals. What happens then, James?
Well, if you lose it and you raise it, you lost.
Okay, now that's the thing. It really doesn't seem quite fair.
No, it doesn't. But and we have raised all of our. That's one reason we're growing slow. We keep about 60 heifers a year now to make mother cows out of. And but now if you buy a cow, you know, and you just for instance, if you give $1,000 for a cow, and she dies. You can take that $1,000 off your
right.
Income.
You get to take a loss.
Take
that.
A loss, but if you raise that cow, it's just it's too bad.
Too bad.
And you lose what they ate, too.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a little short break and come back. We'll be back in a few minutes. And we just got to keep talking until the mayor gets here. We'll be right back.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. We are back, and I know your microphone.
My microphone has failed again. Anybody must know when I get back on. I'm going to have to hold it with my hand. We have James Hamilton here with us morning, and Ms. Kristen Rich, and this is kind of something that is new. I know we went through real quickly by what it was, but you know, how did this all come apart? You know, this is a private organization working with the UT Extension Service, and I know for a number of years that this event had happened before the pandemic, that they had one, but it's kind of expanded, hadn't it?
Yeah, so actually for years and years, Turkey Creek Cattle Company has been very generous in sponsoring lots of our events and in extension and through 4-H and things, so we appreciate them for that. But this pond field day got brought about a couple years ago, actually, when James asked me a few questions about what he could do with some algae in this pond. And so then that got the gears a-turning to have a field day based around fish and ponds, and then also we're throwing in some forage things because our county is very heavily, we have lots and lots of acres of pasture land, so that's very important to our farmers. So I guess that's really how it got started, and James was all for it, so we put it together along with soil conservation, and we've got it rolling.
Okay, now is this just really kind of a great big picnic too? Are you supposed to bring your the wife and the kids down? And
yes, bring your family. You don't have to bring any food. The food will be provided, and it's all free. Like I said earlier, this is sort of in with our event that we used to have before the pandemic, but Turkey Creek will be furnishing the food, and Kristen and her crew will be doing all the talking. I won't be doing any talking there. So. but it'll be a good time, and everybody come out, and we'll have lots of fish.
Yeah.
Okay, now, like I said, we've talked about a bunch of the things going on. Any other specific things, Kristen? Mm-hmm. I know you've got some things there. I know, like I said, we're kind of running on the fly this morning.
Yeah. So we're going to have Alyssa Clements with Purina come, and she's going to actually do a fish food giveaway, and she's also going to be talking about hay sampling too. Nick Patterson's going to be talking about silage nutrition for cattle. Smith County Extension Agent Chris Hicks, he's going to be talking about pasture weeds, rotational grazing, and then he's also going to be doing the sprayer calibration demonstration. And then all of the pond stuff is going to be taught by our extension specialist, Craig from Grundy County. So he's going to come
he's
up.
He's got all kinds of experts.
Yes, yes.
And I know that this is all hands-on.
Yes.
Our farmers that are going to be there, or anyone that's going to be there, just exactly what can they expect to be doing?
Okay, so actually you don't necessarily have to be a farmer to
right.
come and show anybody up and learn.
Anybody who
wants to come can come.
If you got a big yard, need to know
what
to do.
If you have a yard with weeds, come on. If you have a pond that you want to get going, come on. If you have cattle, come on. So we invite everybody to come to both of the sessions, the fish session and the forage session, and then, of course, the eating session.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you kind of like to eat fish,
absolutely,
you really don't have to have another excuse.
Right. And if you show up just to eat, that's okay.
But, you know, just any, really and truly, myself or any normal citizen, this is a great time for you to come down and learn some stuff that you know you can apply, like you said, to your lawn, to your
mm-hmm.
garden, because
mm-hmm.
you know most everyone anymore has got at least a little raised garden with some tomatoes or something in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know Kristen will be there, and there'll be someone there that can help you and tell you why your tomato plants grew 10 foot tall last year and had two tomatoes on them.
Oh, my goodness. Last year was just a bad year all around. My tomatoes didn't do well either.
But, you know, we sit here and I just talked about, you know, I tell you, if we did it, something you might want to do a count sometime or other and find out, you know, just how many of these raised gardens we've got here in Clay County and how much they're actually producing for themselves.
Right.
You know, that is a big time thing anymore.
Yeah.
That it's not just, I know a lot of folks are actually doing any commercial that you know of right now that are doing it that way, Kristen, that you've worked with.
Commercially in Clay County, as far as vegetables?
Don't know of any like that.
Not like that.
Not
well, maybe getting the ball rolling into having a market. I know maybe one family that's getting started. So maybe in the future we'll have some commercial grown.
Okay, now another thing I guess we can bring, what about our farmer's market?
Yeah, I was about to get into that too. So I guess I had more to talk about then. And I talk a lot anyway.
No kidding.
Our farmer's market is hopefully going to start up around the beginning of July. And we invite anyone and everyone to bring their extra produce and sell. Even if you have flowers, bulbs, seeds, whatever, you can bring that and sell as well. We've also had baked goods brought up here to sell. And our farmer's market is located on the Courthouse Square here in Solana. So it's every Saturday, and we usually start about 8, and everybody's usually concluded by about 12.
Okay, now we've got one more thing for James, and that is last week, I guess it was last week, we had a group come into this area from I think it's actually streamed on the SEC network on the national way of getting your TV anymore, a group from True South. And I know James was involved in that a little bit, and only let him do just a little quick rundown of what they did and when they can expect that be edited down from about 12 hours into 28 minutes.
Well, it was over the marble players and the marble yards around Monroe County and Clay County, and it was ESPN, and they went to what they call the Dome up in Huntsville, and they filmed the marble players there and got all about the game, and then they come down to Clay County out to Malcolm Strong's marble yard, and it's a different type marbles, but they filmed that and asked a lot of questions, and this is supposed to be, from what they told us, it'll be this fall sometime, and they're supposed to let us know when it's going to be shown on TV, and I'll try to let Mr. Watson know that when that is, and maybe he can put it out over the radio, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch, because they talk to a lot of us old boys that never had been on TV, I guess, before.
And I think also, did they actually do some filming in Doveys?
They
I think that's part of the show, that they go to the unique eating place.
Yeah, and they filmed Doveys, and the guy that was doing the interviewing, he told he'd had a fried egg sandwich from Doveys and a fried hot dog and a hamburger. And he wanted to know if there's any other place in this country that cooked like Doveys did. And we told him we didn't know about it.
And their shows are streamed online now.
Yeah.
You can do a search on True South. And I know there's one on there from Hodgenville, Kentucky, which is up near here. But they do travel all over the United States looking for unique places. And they kind of uniqued up on us, didn't they? And they got this area here going. And like I said, we'll let everyone know when that's happening. And I know that all the guys involved in that, James, our marble players, I know they had a great day day long with those folks. But with that, we about got you all finished, didn't we?
Thank you for having us.
All right, the mayor just came in. We're going to talk a little bit to him, and we'll be right back after the next station break. Be right back.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Look here.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Dale's made it in. Okay, now can I turn? If I turn this down, I can't hear you guys. Can?
Okay, I can hear you. I'm gonna set the other.
Can you hear me now? Okay, I'm gonna set the microphone over in front of me, and that Dale move down the other one where I don't have to try to. I can hear you in my ear. How's that? All right. I think we'll cure this little problem today at least. Right. Okay, all right. Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, we had a little problem here with our headset, and we've got that cured. Kristen and James have wandered off. Great job of those guys coming in, and I know they were planning to stay here a few minutes, but they had a whole lot more information to impart to the folks than they thought they did. So we don't for everyone to get out for their big goings on down there at the Turkey Creek Farm and at the other places. I want to remind everyone that today we will be giving away our birthday prize for the week, and we have some, a few names this week. We're a little shorter than usual this week, but we've got some. We'll be doing that at the end of the show, and they'll be receiving that prize from over at the Chamber of Commerce, compliments of WVFB-FM. And we will take care of that. And right now, Mayor Reagan is here with us. And I know one thing, we got a little bit of updating on the appearance of the courthouse around here, among other things. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the invite. And I'm sorry I'm running a little bit behind, but I sure do appreciate, you know, it's going to be a hard act to follow now, I'm telling you.
A pretty good pair of folks here this morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Thomas, on the courthouse, and thanks to you for a lot of your efforts that's been going into it, and if folks get an opportunity to drive around, I know we've upgraded a lot of the old lumber and stuff that has been rotted around the overhang and stuff, and I think they finished up the steeple part of it last week, I guess it was, and maybe the first of this week. They finished up some stuff on it and everything. So it's really looking good. And I know you got someone up here doing some brick laying and stuff. And hopefully we'll get all the new globes put on the lamp post. And I think we got someone lined up to do the painting of that and everything. So everything's beginning to spring of the year, and everything's beginning to blossom out and look beautiful.
I know. Mr. Gary J. Strong came up and laid some bricks for us yesterday. This was part of the Clay County Sesquicentennial celebration. We had a design for a bench out on the courthouse yard, and we kind of changed the design after we got started. It looked like it's turned out pretty good, but that was part of that celebration that we finally got completed. And I know. And also while he was here, I spoke to him. I had kind of spoke to the mayor about it, and I think he is going to speak to the mayor. I think he said that he would like to volunteer and do the repointing of the brick around the corners here that needs to be done.
Oh, that's great.
So,
yeah.
So we're going to work out something on that and try to get that, because we have a few that really, really need some attention.
Yeah, I know that corner there. I'd always wondered what happened to that, and you explained it to me the other day when we found out basically it all started from overhead, and it worked its way down with the water getting in behind the brick and everything.
And you know, the strange thing about this is it leaked behind the brick, and it also leaked behind the inside brick down the plaster wall, because there's a corner down at the bottom where it settled that the plaster has come loose from the wall down here. And that's, I guess, about the only place other than where we had some damage and lost some plaster that it came loose. And the water came down inside and outside there somewhere or other. And, of course, now we've got it figured out. We know how to stop it from ever happening again.
Yeah, hopefully. And I feel like that, you know, that y'all have determined the problem, and hopefully that'll be fixed to the best that humanly possible if we can fix it and everything.
And
so that'd be great.
An update on the four windows. I spoke to the folks up in Lexington yesterday, and they said that they could have them done by the 30th of May, and I spoke to them and said, well, maybe could you try to do that by the 20th of May, and we can get them in the day before we have the day that we have our Lola Jean Dillon show.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, we have those four windows back in, and we still haven't heard from our grant this year, I don't think, on getting the rest of the windows downstairs finished.
Yes, and that you've come a long way in a short period of time on these, because I know that repairing those windows, it takes a specialty to do that, and to try their very best to keep them as close to the way they were put in when they eventually, you know, the building was built and everything. And it being a historical building like that, you know, they don't want us to change the outward appearance of it at all, if we possibly can. But sometimes we have to, because things deteriorate and everything. But y'all have done a good job of getting everything back like it is. I know with them working around the overhang and everything, they've done a real good job of getting everything back like it originally was.
Okay, and Mayor, how were we able to do that at this time?
Okay, they mainly, a lot of the work that, of course, year through your window project is through a grant, like you said a moment ago, plus the citizens out there that have been so generously stepping up to the plate and giving some donations and stuff,
right,
to make
donate
that possible.
Adopt the window.
So, yeah, your Adopt the Window program that you got going has been, plus on the other, we have been using what we call the governor support money that we got from the state back last year, and we've been able to use some of that to help do some of the upgrades and everything. And so that's really helped us a lot and everything, because up to that point, you know, we were pretty much relying on our budget as far as county buildings, and a lot of times, you know, we just got a limited amount of money that we can use on that. So this really helped us and enabled us to be able to do some of that.
Well, you know, a lot of things, you know, with our tight money situation, and that we have just really and truly a lot of years have been trying to keep it from getting any worse.
Yeah, that one of the first things, you know, that we looked at several years ago was the roofing on it to start with, you know, the steeple part, the roofing really got bad, and the shingle part of the roof up there, it got over a period of time, you know, it deteriorated, and it was a lot of leakage on that, and we had a lot of the sheeting and stuff that was underneath it had rotted. And so we were able to, with the help from the insurance company, we was able to talk with them backwards and forwards, and they finally agreed, well, the life of it, you know, sometimes you can't get insurance to cover that and everything, but we'd had a few storms that had come through that had damaged some of the shingles up there, and so they agreed to help us out on that too. So we was able to put a new roof on it probably about, I'm going to say about 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, something like that. And so if we got it dried in good, so the roof on it is in good shape for, it should be good for many, many years now. And But the next project was that one of the big ones was that to inside the building was to upgrade the electrical system, and we was able to get a grant to help us do that, and with the help of a lot of folks around that stepped up and helped us, we were able to upgrade the electrical system, especially the panel boxes that comes into it. That was my main concern, was to try to get all that, the switch gear and everything, which that's your breaker panels and everything, to get that all changed over from a fuse type setting over to the breakers and stuff, and we was able to get that done. And there's still some stuff that we need to do, but all the protective equipment as far as your breakers and stuff and the switch boxes is all upgraded and everything, so we're in pretty good shape there. And then, of course, getting the overhangs and stuff where that a lot of the lumber had rotted from the results of the roof getting bad, getting that taken care of. And I think everybody's tickled to death other than the blackbirds. I think
there's one bird family that's probably not real happy that they lost their access to the courthouse. Of course, they didn't realize when they got inside the courthouse. I think I heard a couple of them talking in there one day, and they were talking about, we're in heaven. Look, we've got all this stuff and everything. And after about 2 days, he looked over at his buddy and said, "You did bring the lunch bucket, didn't you?" And that was the problem we had. The birds would get in there, and you couldn't catch them and get them out, and they would eventually, they would just starve to death and wind up on the floor down there. But I do know that we've got that taken care of. But a lot of folks don't realize that one of the major assets we have for this building is a county mayor who is a licensed electrician.
I don't know how much of a benefit that is, but I mean, we've been able to do some stuff and everything. So we're thrilled to death to get to, as you refer to it, so many times as a grand old lady up here, and we just it's an icon for us here in the county, and we want to try to do our very best to keep it, looking as close to reality as we possibly can, back to the way it was originality, as we possibly can and everything. And I think one of our next things we're going to try our very best to do, and I told Thomas that we'd try to get this done before his musical was the lighting in the original courtroom up there is needing some attention. And it's a challenge because you got twisted and turns. You have to try to get a ladder up to that point. In order to get a ladder that will reach up there, it's got to be about a 16-foot ladder, step ladder to do that with. And I don't know, we ain't figured that out yet, but I think we were trying to work on a plan the other day that Thomas seems to think the old windows up there, original old windows, if we can ever get them to open up and swing in, I think that we'll be able to get somebody to lift that ladder up and we can take it in up there and work on that.
I think if we can get it done before they bring the reconditioned windows in, we can slide it in where the windows have been taken out up here right now. So we've kind of, things kind of fall in place sometimes.
Sometimes they do.
But I know we have, we've gotten a lot of stuff done. We've still got quite a bit to do. But, he was speaking about, the leaks in the roof. And I know we have, some buildings here in the county that the roof had been allowed to basically rot holes through and that weren't attended to where they should be. And, it may have come to the point where we have one of our older buildings that may not be able to be saved. So, those are type things that if you have an old home, you have an old log house, anything like that, the first thing you've got to do is to make sure that there is a roof on it always.
Yeah. If you can keep a good roof on them, you can work on the other stuff as time permits and everything. But that's one of the things that I feel like that across the county now, most of all of our county buildings, if not all of our county buildings, we've been able to, and we've been blessed to redo the roof down at the complex. We was able to do that a couple of years ago, which to the tune of about $100,000 is what it cost us to put a roof on that. The Chamber of Commerce and our maintenance shop was able to do that. Our health department, we had a new roof put on it, and also our library. I think that, most of our buildings that the county officials are in or operate for the citizens that come and provide the services for our citizens and everything, I think that we've got them all and up in pretty good shape and everything. And we was able to do a lot of that through some grant funding that we was able to secure to do that with.
Yeah, I know a lot of that money that we received from the state was for restoration of historic buildings and for tourism type things.
Right.
So that's kind of freed up quite a bit of work and capital for us here in the last little bit.
It's helped us a lot because we've been blessed, you know, on a limited budget anyway. And I mean, you know, that money that, you know, I've had people to say, well, you're getting free money. Well, it's not free. I mean, all of us knows and understands that and everything that, you know, it's going to come a payday someday. But while it's there and it's available, we need to do our very best in the right way to try to take advantage of that so that we would be able to put it toward the things that desperately need attention to and try our very best not to use it for something that might create a worse burden on our budget in the future.
Okay, let's take a little short break. We'll be back, and I know you've got some new things up to talk about. We've got about 15 minutes, so we'll be right back just in a second.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy, return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor, I know you brought your folder up with you this morning. I know we've got a lot of things going on. We're going to have to get this some more. It's getting close. It's budget time now.
It is, and that's one thing that I was wanting to bring up to everybody. I know that we're beginning to, and Donna worked on her schedule that she gives myself to look over, and then I present it to the county commission, and they'll approve or disapprove this the schedule for the changing of our meetings for the next couple of months. Excuse me. Because of the budget, because a lot of times we have to rearrange our meeting times in order to be able to comply with the deadlines that we have to do for our next coming fiscal year budget. And, of course, May the 2nd, which will be Monday night, that'll be the county commission, and we'll be meeting on regular session on this coming Monday night at 6:30 down there at the complex, at the courtroom. And then after that, we usually always have a planning meeting on the last Monday night of each month and everything. So the May planning and the June 6th commissioners meeting night has been moved. And we're going to start our budget meetings then. So the next, we push the June planning or the June county commission meeting will be pushed out to June the 20th. So, but we'll, and if you don't care, Thomas, I'll come back and bring that back up to date just a little bit more whenever we, after Monday night, and make sure the commissioners are good with these dates and everything. If they are, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, if you allow me to, I'll come back up and we'll go over that and everything so that we can make sure that everybody is aware of what's going on and knows what time, you know, that the commissioners and the budget committee is going to be meeting. And speaking of the county commission meeting for Monday night, We've got about 9 resolutions that will be taken in consideration on the agenda for the county commissioners, and one of them is to reduce the speed limit on one of the little county roads out here, and I think that's up in the, I want to say up around the Tick area, the Baptist Ridge area up in there. It's in the 4th district, so that'll be considered. And then, of course, one of the things too that Marvin Dyer, he is our codes inspector. He's our building inspector. He has been doing it for the county for about 7 years now, and he's decided he's going to retire. And so the commissioners will have on the agenda a resolution to appoint a new codes inspector. And they've had we advertised that in the paper, and we had 4 applicants that put in for that. So Monday night at planning, we presented the commissioners with those applicants and the resumes. And so they'll have a week to go over those and look at them and maybe make calls to those applicants. And we had 3 of the applicants that was at the meeting the other night that had the opportunity to talk to the commissioners, and the commissioners were able to ask them questions and everything. So hopefully they'll be able to come up with an applicant that they can agree on and put somebody back in that position Monday night. And we also, with that, we had the Department of Commerce and Insurance from the State Farm Marshal's office was on a Zoom call with us for the commissioners and the applicants as well to explain the process and to tell them exactly what the rules and regulations was. And especially for the applicants, they'll have up to a year in order to get their ICC certification and everything. So I thought that was a good conversation that we had with the Farm Marshal's office and those folks down there, and they said that they were certainly willing and awaiting any time that the commissioners or the applicants have any questions, and that they'd come up and work with us and everything on that. Also, another very important resolution that we'll be having will be the approval of the AMLETS contract between the county and the city. And I want to thank the city and the alderman and Mayor Collins and them for the work that they put into this, coming up with, and of course the AMLETS committee on the county side come up with a proposal. And it's going to be, looks like it's going to be about a 3-year contract. And the commissioners will vote on that Monday night. Hopefully they'll approve it. And then I know the city council has already approved it. They did that about a couple of weeks ago and everything. So look forward to that, because they do, the city does an absolutely outstanding job of providing the services for the citizens here of the county and the city. Because, I mean, you know, the people in the city is in the county, so it's all the cities, all the citizens and everything. So they provide that service for us, and they do a good job and everything for that and everything. So that's a couple of those resolutions that really has some, well, all of them is important, but those stand out as something that, you know, that we definitely need to get taken care of, and then we move on toward the process of getting the new budget and everything set.
Okay, now about the budget itself coming up, I know what you have, you know, alluded to there, and that is all of this extra money that has been flowing into all of the counties in the state of Tennessee, and that a lot of it maybe wasn't even budgeted at all in any way. You know, how is that going to affect trying to budget for next year, the year after that,
well,
things like that, when that money is no longer going to be available, and we have some services that we started that we're going to have to pick up probably on our own?
Hopefully we've been very, very cautious about creating things that's going to be a reoccurring cost.
Right.
And that's one of the things that the Comptroller's Office and our and CTAS and all those folks that have been assisting us in this has really cautioned and given told us to pay close attention about, you know, not creating some reoccurring costs on this and everything. I know with the governor's support money, it was things that we were go out and do things that you feel like that are necessary, that you need to do, upgrading your HVAC systems. And I know right now we're in the process of repaving the parking lot down there at the complex, things like that that we normally wouldn't have money to do it with, and that's not going to put a burden on the future budgets down the road. And so that in the governor support money this last go around, that money has to be spent by June 30th. So we have a window there that has to be used, and it has to be, you know, justifiable when you do that and everything. So the ARP funding that we got, the county got, is right now the county commission and myself, I give them a spending plan to be looking at, and we'll determine, you know, categories that we feel like is necessary, that is needed, and then if the county commission will look at the spending plan and they agree to it and they vote on it, and that'll be the plan that we'll be operating by and everything. But yes, I mean, you got to be very cautious, because that money, it's probably more likely it is a one-time money.
Right.
And so if you go out here and you create something that's going to cause $100,000 to $200,000 increase on your annual budget, you can't depend on that being there, you know, next year or the year after that and everything. So when you do that, it's kind of like you buying a new car and forgot, I've got to put gas in that car. So if that happens, that car is just going to sit there and go down, because you're not going to be able to operate it and everything. So and hopefully, Lord being our helper and everything, that we've looked at all them things, and hopefully we've not done that.
Well, you know, a lot of times when these things come down for emergencies, I know, and well, like we were talking about fire, police work, things like that, and, you know, the state legislature, they will come along with a grant for the counties, giving them so many, up to like $1 million. You can, you know, because we know you need more officers, you need more of this, more of that, but anytime you put anyone on there, as like, well, you know, the sheriff, well, I could use four more officers here, and this is going to pay for it.
Yeah.
And you're looking, well, this is a two-year program.
Yeah.
And in the 2 years, either you're going to have to come up with some money, or you're going to have to lay people off.
Yeah.
And that's something you definitely never want to do.
No, because it's in grants like that, they specifically note that in there, that, you know, that if you are going to use this for creating positions or whatever, and even if you want to give pay raises or something like that, that you got to understand that you have got to do an effort. You got to put forth an effort in there that you're going to create some more revenue somewhere to cover that. Because, you know, once you do that, you can't just, you either do away with it, you either go back, or you come up with a way of creating revenue to cover that and everything. That's one of the things you get in trouble with sometimes especially if you go to the extreme of doing something like that. But I know the sheriff's department were able to get a confinement grant through the Department of Health, and the sheriff, he's got about $297,000 grant that he's got, and he's spending that on some more vehicles, transportation vehicles and stuff like that and everything. But we're not able to use it yet until the state passes their budget. And that was one of the things that me and him talked about yesterday. And in some of this stuff, I know the health department, we got some grant funding to do some more renovations out the health department on the outside and everything, to the tune of around $400,000, and to upgrade all the HVAC systems out there and everything. But we're not able to do that until the state, their certified budget is passed and everything, and the contracts are all sent out to us. So a lot of good things coming down the pike and everything. And so, but yes, you got to be very cautious when it's using this ARP funding.
Okay, I guess the phrase here, maintenance of effort, does that apply to?
Maintenance of effort applies to mainly, of course, your school system,
right,
your libraries, and highway departments and stuff like that. There's maintenance of effort and stuff. And also with there is a certain, you know, emphasis that you have to make sure that, and what that means is you got to maintain that effort. Whatever they got in their budget this year, you can't take that. They've got to get that same amount for next year. And with the school system, we've been able to maintain that effort. And when I say plus, it's the growth. Whatever growth we get in that year, and that growth comes whenever people build new homes, or somebody sells a big lot of land and they sell it up in partials. In other words, they create another birth certificate, kind of what you might say, you know, And so when those are plotted out and someone goes out there and makes improvements where they put a house on it or whatever it may be, that's a partial. And so that creates a source of revenue. So that's growth. That's what we call growth. So anything that we get within that year, and hopefully, you know, we hope that we always have some growth that comes in every year. And when that happens, that enables the commissioners to get a little bit easier of a decision of not having to raise your property taxes.
Okay, with that, I led you into that because I think next week the tax assessor is going to come up and kind of explain
the
deal that folks came in. But we're about to run out of time today. Hey, it's been great once again, and I know that with the maintenance of effort thing, I do know that we have a whole new funding program for the education system coming up and the maintenance of effort and all those things. That is an extremely, extremely complicated formula of things. But as you said, you know, you can't just decide, hey, they don't need this money anymore, but we must maintain what we did last year.
Absolutely, that's the law.
With that, I'm going to get back here and get me a little number real quick for our birthday winner today, and looks like Mr. Gary Brown won the birthday prize today.
Happy birthday, Gary.
And we'll remind you of one other thing before we go. This is election time down here in Tennessee in the county. And if any one running for political office would like to do a little spot on WVFB and also I think maybe run over to WTKY, give a call at 270-487-0969, and they will do a little recording thing. If you'd like to do just a little 10 or 15 minute spot, say, hey, come vote for me for this, give them a call up there and do a little advertising on the radio this year. And with that, we'll say may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again here, same time, same channel, WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, and good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.